Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What it do? Happy Monday.
Yes.
We are without Chime. He has flex today and tomorrow.
Yes.
So, once
again, Ali is showing how strong he is. How soft he is. I'm sorry.
Who are you referring to?
That would be you.
Oh, I'm the leader?
Yes.
Okay.
In the words of Mad Cobra, girl, flex.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to say at this point.
We have
unlimited flex time, and everybody deserves some time to recharge the batteries. Right, Curtis?
Yes. Jackson is, we're off and running.
What's the issue in there?
Is it my headphones or is it your mic?
No, I don't know what
I think it's your mic. There's something wrong with your mic.
Uh-huh.
I have it on and up.
You do?
It sounds kind of hollow.
Probably has nothing to do with you.
It definitely doesn't. Probably. You know how the weekends are around here.
Yeah.
Can I say something to Wiggy, though?
Sure, go ahead.
The coming at people for flex time is getting old. It's getting old. And I'm seeing it over
spring
and over
book.
Again.
Spring book.
Yep. And it seems like we're doing well. But I will just say it's like a hard-o move that I'm seeing industry-wide. Like, it's just like everyone's
got to take a step back and relax.
I started it. Yeah, I know,
and then
I know.
Everybody, ain't nothing wrong with co-signing on it, but, you know, it's the spring book. It's always...
But it's like a big... It's an old head take.
Jackson, did you touch anything that you shouldn't have touched?
I did not touch anything. It sounds fine now.
But we could get into it. When we were walking in the studio, you were fiddling and diddling with everything in there.
I was just doing what I do.
There was like dead air to start the show on the commercial transition.
I did not hear. Was there dead air? Maybe like 2 seconds, but how. It,
you know. Well, I mean, 2 seconds is 2 seconds.
Can you just? I'm gonna turn your mic off for 1 second. Can you just fiddle with that thing until it turns red, please?
Oh gosh. Fiddle with it. All right, Courtney.
Yeah, it's you and I, Wiggy and the woman.
No. I mean, I'm serious.
Lead the show.
You just touched it, and the red light went on, and I think that's the problem. I think the wire is loose.
Fiddlesticks.
That's what I'm saying with James now. It's a lot of fun. I say, fiddlesticks, and it's almost better than the F word.
The light, Wiggy's light's been going out recently, but the mic's been fine, right. So I don't think
there we go.
Oh, shout out to you, Curtis, too. I watched Adolescence over the weekend.
Yeah.
Good recommendation.
You thought that was really good?
I thought it was good.
All right.
You didn't like it?
All right. The problem is somebody has broken the microphone wire over the weekend.
We'll have to splice those wires together. Anybody got any electrical tape?
Oh, gosh. We're going to need IT in here. It's going to be a whole thing.
What an absolute cluster F.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of cluster Fs, there is one developing this morning as a heads up with a disabled tractor trailer that is in the O'Neill Tunnel on the southbound side right before the Government Center exit. So just... avoid the O'Neill Tunnel at all costs.
All right.
And speaking of other cluster Fs, let's get to the Boston Red Sox if we could, Curtis.
Okay, so what happened over the weekend? I almost felt sad for Rafael Devers. Like, that was... I mean, obviously historic. I'm sure Courtney will get to the numbers of the strikeouts or whatever. Like,
it's 12. My lead.
It's okay. So Courtney's lead is all over that. So what I would just simply say is Rafael Devers is closing in on a point where he will be the most hated Boston athlete by a wide margin. If you show up and there's this offseason of finally, there's this renaissance of Red Sox stock, they're reinvesting in the organization, and a guy gets paid $32 million to DH, shows up, I guess, out of shape, or at least out of baseball shape, can't catch up to a fastball, and you could basically blame him for losing 3 out of 4 of the weekend.
Is it, do you think, that he's out of shape, or did he basically hold a one-man protest for most of spring training and not get the reps in that he needed to get in, and it was he was pouting and being a baby all spring training long, and now he's not ready to go. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Yeah. I think it is all psychological. If you watch him, his timing's off. Like, the way he's lifting his head up, everything mechanically looks off for him. And that is all psychological, in my opinion. That's part of my lead.
Yeah, I don't think it's the shape thing. Because I heard, who was doing the broadcast with Lou? Is it Mala? He was talking about how he tried to lean towards the shape thing, and then they talked about, like, his back leg and everything. Like, who the hell knows? You know, you're diving in the weeds with the baseball. But I'm with Courtney. This thing is from the neck up, and how much of that is because of the whole moving from third base to DH, that mentally he's kind of all over the place.
Okay, you want to give him that excuse? I mean, there are guys.
No,
that,
I'm not giving him the excuse. Yeah, I'm agreeing with Courtney that's probably the reason.
But how are you that discombobulated when it comes to going from, you know, playing all the time to DHing? I mean,
I guess it's baseball players. Don't they say baseball players are super weird?
Cases.
But he got the $30 million a year. Yeah. He got that deal because of his hitting ability.
But that leaves out the question I asked Friday. If he is such a lost puppy dog without playing the field, why didn't he play the field and play some games during the spring?
Yeah, I don't know that one. You have to ask.
Baseball at the plate is a mental game.
Huh?
It's the most similar to golf. You're one person on a team playing for yourself, your own stats, and what we saw over the weekend was a guy that just showed up not ready for the season.
He, over those four games, he was 0 for 16, I think. So,
him and Cassis together a bad. I mean,
so, and those guys ended up stranding. What did they strand 24 during that four game series?
Well, the runners in scoring position was an abomination. Yeah, like, they horrible. Just couldn't get a hit with guys in scoring position. The pitchers were pretty good. Yeah. You know, Dick Fitz, I mean, he was in a little too long for my liking, but that's the first time that's been said. So,
I just it's not what I expected.
No.
Still
early, though.
It is still early. Oh, yeah. It's not even April yet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you had them going 162-0, but it is still early.
It's still early. All right. So we got a lot to get to. Maybe without me. I mean, if I can't get this microphone fixed, I may have to go home this morning. I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I could move over and it could be next to Courtney.
We're going to figure it out during the break.
Yes.
Or we could switch and I could fiddle with that and figure it out.
No. I have texts out to the engineers and to the boss man and everybody.
Good job, Jack.
Oh, excellent. Great job, Jackson. Thank you for that.
I have asked Jeeves.
My apologies to you two on the early departure of your Boston College Eagles.
Well, it was after Bentley, but
final. Well, Bentley gave them a game on Friday.
Yeah, they did. But
hence why I am repping Bentley this morning with this one-of-a-kind Bentley shirt that they had sent me.
Mm-hmm.
So, BC does not advance, but BU does. So.
Right. Denver is the Bruin. Denver is to the BC Eagles what hitting is to Rafael Devers.
We got a lot to get to on today's show, including our leads coming up in about 15 minutes. And then they said it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on everything they said over the weekend. And we will certainly talk about what Alex Bregman said about a very disappointing weekend for his ball club. And then Courtney has the news coming up at 7:45, and that includes the dumbest of the day and bad news for Curtis from elected officials and that pair of truck nuts that he was thinking about putting on his Audi.
Oh, man.
So I love the truck nuts.
I don't want to ruin your day today, Curtis.
Well,
but
you can't do it. I love you too much.
Okay.
God, this mic. What is going on in this place?
That sucks. It's a.
Well.
I mean, I could move over for a break.
All right.
Talk about the Mondays.
Yeah.
The case of the Mondays.
Am I right?
We fly as one, Bentley. Right. Wow.
And I got to bring everything over.
This is...
I'm going to have to bring all my...
This is... Jackson, this is not boding well for your day, bud.
This is not boding well for my day at all.
That's
you are correct.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
And you guys go to any really nice good. Restaurants over the weekend, Wiggs?
I went to Morton's. Oh. So I got my chicken Christopher. Love Morton's. What, you don't like Morton's?
I've never had the chicken Christopher. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's
I've been to Morton's, though. Yeah, very
it's
good.
It's never happy, and it loves Tom Brady.
I love Morton's. Morton's is a great place. Yep.
Oh, Curtis, yeah. At some point, we got to get, we don't have time now, but we got to get to, speaking of your man crush, we got to get to Stefan Diggs on the social medias and which number he may wear as a New England Patriot.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
There's no way.
I don't know. Should I want to talk about it because I don't know if anybody, I don't think anybody ever should ever again. But.
Agreed.
All right. We got a lot to get to, including Courtney and what is trending right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the Health Connector for Business. I do not like you and I sitting right next to each other.
Really?
It
What's
feels
the problem?
So different.
What's the problem? I'm going to be looking over your shoulder
I know,
the whole time.
I know. The Red Sox drop another one to the Rangers 3-2, dropping to 1-3 in that opening series. Richard Fitz went six innings in his start, giving up three runs on six hits while striking out four. Today, the Sox are in Baltimore to take on the Orioles. First pitch at 2:35 with Sean Newcomb getting the start. You can listen to that game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh kicks off with Joe Weil on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 1:35. The Celtics are in Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. Tip is at 7:30. Jaylen Brown is questionable for this one. A crazy night last night in the NBA, though, as the Pistons and Timberwolves got into a brawl that ended with seven ejections, including two coaches. It happened in the second quarter when Ron Holland fouled Naz Reid. While he was driving to the basket, things escalated from there. And we have our final four set. For March Madness, Auburn and Florida will face off, while Duke and Houston take each other on Saturday. Kostos.
Right again.
He was.
Well, Kostos and Betty from accounting.
Chalk it up.
Well, I mean, Kostos couldn't just make something out of nothing. He knew what was going to happen, Curtis, and he had to go with it.
No, right. And so did every person who hasn't watched college basketball put the one seeds in the Final Four. There's no difference.
But it is, I think, the first time since 2008.
Yeah.
That all of the ones have made it to the Final Four. So,
interesting. Very interesting. And that was brought to you by Health Connector for Business. Companies interested in an employee health plan can go to mahealthconnector.org/business and filter right to premium value plans. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather. It's a doozy this week.
It really is. 43 degrees, cloudy. What an awful weekend. God, was it gross. But today it's going to be 64. We got a cold front coming in tonight. Rain overnight, heavy until about 3 a.m. Home opener, Fenway Park, 65, partly cloudy at Fenway.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Put You Back to Sleep Ballad Monday on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI. Jackson, a little energy, please.
You got it. Duly noted. That's a great song. I'm sorry. I love that song.
I know, but this is what you always do. You play songs that you like. You got to play the hits. There's five Audio Slave songs that will get everybody up and at them on a Monday morning.
Oh, is that who that band was?
Yes. Wiggy. Okay. Yes.
I don't know them.
You don't know
not
them?
Familiar.
Yeah,
not
I don't
familiar.
Know
no. It's not my style, but I know that that's Jackson's. Yeah.
It is Jackson's.
But what I don't understand is every time this happens, the exact, like, we could replay that from any other time Sean's been out.
He starts the show off with some obscure tune that he loves.
Right. I do think it's on purpose, maybe subconscious.
It could be.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. Is it on purpose?
I can tell you, I don't, no, there's nothing subconsciously going on here. I'm ready to fall off a cliff right now. I can't believe that, Mike.
You'd be ready to jump off a cliff.
Thomas, College Tom told me that Mike's been messed up most of the weekend. And the flagship show on this damn station, and they don't get it fixed by Monday morning.
I like the flagship. I don't think we've been referred to as that before. Well,
good job. Like good kissing ass, Jack. Right. That's how you do
it's
it.
Just, it is what it is. I'm not. Right. I'm just saying, you know.
Facts.
So College Tom said that it was screwed up all weekend?
Yeah, so that's what he said.
With Ken.
Then Curtis told me that it wasn't on Saturday. So it happened sometime after the Ken and Curtis show on Saturday is when things went wrong. And I cannot believe it's not fixed yet.
Mm. Well, I mean, did anybody alert any of the engineers?
That's a wonderful question. I did. I texted the head engineer as soon as I heard it, right when you started talking this morning.
Maybe it doesn't sound different because I believe I was listening to Travis yesterday. I don't know what his last name is.
Thomas.
Travis Thomas. And it sounded fine to me in the car.
Yeah. So okay. Mm. Well, I mean, honestly, I feel naked. I can't see the text line from this mic.
All right. Yep.
I can't see what's going on in Twitch. Hello and good morning.
Yep.
And thank you to those who are watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube. And I will remind you that this show every day on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers. There are three locations you can visit. One in Portland, Maine, and the other two are in Bath, Maine, and... in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. See, I nailed that. Just go to springersjewelers.com, and thank you to Springers for presenting this show on Twitch every single day. Would you like to talk to David? Let's go to David in the car. David, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Great show, except for the mic situation, but it's okay. It's a little iffy, but it'll be fine.
Right. David,
I'm Devers. Yes.
It's how you finish. It's not how you start. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
That is very true. I'm Devers. You know, it is disappointing what's going on. And Courtney was right, 100%. Something to keep an eye on. And this is why I disagree with these long-term contracts to these guys. Because, you know, once you pay somebody for the performance that they have not done, you're setting the tone. You're pretty much saying, we're going to put up with whatever you decide. This is why you don't do that. That was a silly contract for 10 years. Nobody's worth 10 years. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis, I think I heard you suggest on Saturday that on your Saturday show that you believe that he is trying to get traded. Is that what you said?
I mean, I think he wants to be traded. I don't know if he's – I don't think he's sabotaging the team on purpose. He sabotaged the team in the way he showed up to camp.
He definitely wants out. And guess what? I mean, I would say to David – Aaron Judge signed a 9-year contract. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, Shohei, how are you doing?
Well, we should get Rafael Devers one of those special Yankees bats. Yeah. I mean, those things are...
Yeah, you need those.
How long are those going to be legal for?
I don't know, but if they are, grab one quick.
Yeah, just make sure that... Did you guys go through the rules and regulations that Ken sent over?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
132 pages or something like
but
that.
But if you go through the bats and the balls and the diameters and what's inside of everything, very interesting.
I leave the experts to give me all the information on that.
It was a light read.
But, I mean, they certainly allowed him, if you want to figure blame, which is probably of some importance this morning, they certainly allowed him to do basically what he wanted in spring training. I mean, at what point did he actually live hit in the game? Was it like a couple days before they headed to Mexico, Curtis? I mean, Rafael Devers was not active in a spring training game until the very end.
Right. And if you want to put blame, obviously we all agree most of it is on Devers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But as a secondary guy, you have to give some of this to Cora.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Cora spent the entire offseason not being shy to discuss to media members his desire for Bregman to come here. And Devers obviously arrived in a mood, and I think that Cora thought that this would be something he would get over, and that, you know, Ortiz is the most popular Red Sox of all time. He's a DH. Devers could fall in line. And clearly, whatever it is something that Devers is just having a tough time getting over.
They should have just ripped the Band-Aid off. As soon as they signed Bregman, Cora should have went.
Dealt with it then.
And he should have said, Devers is going to DH.
Because it led to an entire spring season of them just talking over and over again about, well, maybe, we'll see what happens, see what happens. Devers has played his entire career at third base. The fact that now you want to rip the rug from under him, and I understand, Alex Cora, I get Alex Bregman, I think it was the right decision, okay? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're still dealing with people, with humans. You have no idea how they're going to respond to those. And if you look at Rafael Devers, I don't think it's he didn't show up ready for training or he came out of shape. I don't think it has anything to do with that. And during my lead, I have a video from during spring training where he looked perfectly healthy. Mm-hmm. Things looked good for him. So I just, the excuses when it comes to him being out of shape, I don't buy into.
No, baseball shape.
He is a grown man. Like, what are you supposed to do?
It doesn't matter if you're a grown man.
It does matter. Like, you're on a team and you're paid $30 million to do what's right for the baseball team. Like, give me a break.
You just got to suck it up and go and say, I don't like it, but I'm going to go out there and do my part when it comes to hitting. I want out. Trade me, do or say whatever it is.
It doesn't look like he wants out. It looks like he's struggling internally. Everything that you see out of him, whether he's in the dugout or out there, he looks like he's struggling internally.
No,
it doesn't look like a guy who's doing this on purpose.
No, I'm not saying he's doing it on purpose.
But when people are saying he wants out, that's not a guy who's like doing this to get out.
Courtney, when he arrived at spring training and he was asked those questions, he clearly was a guy that was unhappy, and yeah. I think you could put... It's not a big leap to say he doesn't want to be here.
I think it was a guy who never thought that Alex Cora was going to take him away from third base.
Exactly, which is why he doesn't want to be here.
I agree that he does not want to be here.
He pulled a hissy fit for all of spring training. Like, I don't know why we are running circles around trying to baby the guy. Like
I'm not babying. I think that there's a difference here where I can say this is something that's clearly happening. It's an internal struggle that he's having. I don't agree with it, but at the same time, I've never been a pro athlete and I've never been doing one job my entire life and then right before a season starts being told, "Hey, actually, you're not good enough for that. Here's a new guy and you have a position that we've been told by other MLB players gets you disengaged from the game."
But the
writing's on the wall there for me.
The only thing I would say as a former pro athlete is even though you might not like the decisions teams make or you don't like what they're doing, you at the end of the day, you just got to suck it up, do your job, go out there. And guess what? Behind the scenes, tell them, hey, listen, I want out. Tell your agent, I don't want to be here because I want to be able to play third base and see if your agent and the team can work on getting you traded to someplace where you could play the field, but you got to do your best as an athlete to not let it affect you mentally. I know it does, but you still got to be able to go out there and hit. That's what I would say.
This is Alan in the car. Alan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I just want to say it's not just Devers. For the last two or three seasons, the Red Sox should really consider firing their hitting coach. Everybody was saying, oh, they're going to win the division. Where did they improve in their hitting lineup? They didn't.
Well, I give some, I guess, a small bit of an excuse to, you know, we're one series into the season.
Right.
So I don't think it's time to panic yet. And Wiggy has 1,000 times on this show told you that going into this season, hitting was not an issue for them.
They finished top five, top 10 in a lot of major categories last year.
I'm sorry. I'm not disputing Courtney's overall point. I don't think she's wrong that it's an internal struggle. I just don't think we would give that excuse to anybody else on any other team at any other time. And the only other way you can look at this, because I said when we were at spring training that this Bregman acquisition reminded me of the Patriots acquiring Rodney Harrison and releasing Lawyer Malloy. And that was bumpy at the beginning. We all remember the 31-0 loss in week one to the Bills. The team didn't all coalesce around Rodney Harrison. In fact, most hated him. So maybe this will take some time, but this is the worst possible start for the way the organization
is. We've given that excuse to plenty of other players. Mac Jones, while a majority of people did not like Mac Jones, hated him, it was all Bill's fault.
Bill was the reason that
Mac Jones was having these internal struggles and was a head case. Bill Belichick did that to him. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different... I mean, his coach was different. His coach was a defensive coordinator. I don't think that there's been anything done to Devers that is, you know, it's like that would be like saying they put Mac Jones at running back.
I would say the closest guy that we would be able to compare it to, and I know it's two different sports, but he's been able to do a good job with it, was Jaylen Brown and his changing of his role a little bit. And maybe, you know, not that he wanted to be traded or anything like that, but the adjustment that he had to take on with his new role, and mentally he was able to fight through it and say, hey, I got to do what's best for the team. I think that's the biggest issue that a lot of people have with Devers is, even though you might not like it, you might not agree with it, you still got to go out there and do what we all expect you to be able to do, is be the best hitter on the team.
Rafael Devers, or as Wiggy calls him, Ralphie Devers,
right,
0-16 this weekend as the Red Sox start the season. This is Joe in the car. Joe, what's up?
What's up, Greggy?
Hey.
You know, baseball players are trying to turn into the NBA players. They want to control the team. They want to. It's their way or the highway. I mean, you can, Cardi, you can clearly see Devers don't want to be here. You're 0-16. Some of his swings, he's just swinging at it. I'm not saying he's doing it on purpose, but he definitely doesn't want to be here. They're all prima donnas. This is why I can't stand baseball. It's becoming a joke. It's becoming a joke. Devers is a big, big crybaby, and that's what it comes down to. Yeah. He's a big crybaby, you know? It's sickening. Ugh. Well, I can't take it.
No, thank you, Joe.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't want to be here. And I agree with Joe. I kind of agree with Curtis. He might not be doing it on purpose, but part of it, he does not want to be here. And now, if you're the Red Sox, you're a Red Sox front office and you're management, you got to figure out, okay, what do we do? Do we package him and Cassis and say, hey, listen, Toronto, we'll ship him out your way for Vlad Guerrero?
Yeah.
But you have to be – you got to be thinking and do something.
I mean, he needs a flex day today, Curtis.
He needs something.
I honestly, what we saw this weekend couldn't have been scripted worse. The record for strikeouts in an opening series in first at-bats of the season, and the way in which the whole organization tried to tell us nothing to see here – we're all going to Texas as one team. You have even the opener where he doesn't play well, but you get the three-run shot, and then since then it's just been just so demoralizing.
Yeah, well, you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, and we should get started with this morning's leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for...
Well, Jackson, you got Courtney banging your head.
Yes.
No idea. No idea who the artist is. I think Curtis Zero. Knows it, though. Curtis?
Yeah, Duhas.
Yes.
All right.
You know the artist?
Rammstein.
Yes.
Wow. Not
yes. German band.
Danke.
Yes.
He went complete opposite of...
I was made in Hamburg. Fun fact.
Jackson really enjoyed that one, Curtis.
It wasn't even, I mean, it's true. I was conceived in Hamburg, Germany.
All right, leads this morning brought to you by Subaru. With so much to love, you don't want to miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Jackson, good morning.
Good morning. So last time I did a lead, I believe, and I'm a little bit afraid of Curtis's reaction to my lead today, by the way, just so you know.
Well, the last one was a life hack at Costco.
Yes.
Right.
So this brings us right back to Costco. So I don't know if you guys have ever been to Costco on a weekend, but it might be the craziest place I've ever seen. And there was literally... 1,000 people there on Saturday afternoon. So I'm doing an Instacart order, right?
What do you mean doing an Instacart order?
I drive for Instacart.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, make some extra, a couple of extra pennies. So I'm doing an order. It's an order for 3 different homes. So there's like 18 items. So it takes me like a half an hour to do it. And I'm little, it's like a jungle. And then my phone... As soon as I get up to the checkout counter, my phone dies. Mm. And the guy at the checkout counter took me over to customer service, plugged my phone in, and hung out with me and waited for me until it got came alive again. And then, you know, proceeded to do my order.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this guy was a saint. He saved my day, so I didn't have to lose out on the $20 that I was going to make to deliver to these 3 meals. And I went to Dover, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Love it.
And so I proceed to, you know, get the meals, get everything in the car, and I leave, and I'm getting off the highway, and the map is showing me the opposite way to go.
Mm.
And I knew I was supposed to take a right off the highway, but the map is showing me to take a left. So I'm a little bit flustered there. hit the damn curb, popped a tire.
That's like the fifth time you've hit a curb.
It's unbelievable.
And popped a tire.
It's unbelievable. So I pull over. I change the tire, and I call all the people that I'm three different people I'm supposed to deliver to, and they were all the nicest, most like they were so cool about it. Like, and so there was four people in a span of an hour that could have been awful to me, but they were all super supportive, super nice, and super forgiving. And so there is still some good in this world, in amongst the zoo that Costco is on a weekend afternoon. But all these people could not have, you know, handled it better, handled being screwed by me better. And I just commend them. They're just the nice people in the world.
I mean, their food probably arrived an hour late.
It was definitely an hour late.
All right.
Yeah. But it wasn't anything perishable, and it wasn't anything, you know, in a hurry. So
it's Costco.
Yeah.
It's Costco, yeah.
It wasn't like the chicken or anything that sat in your car. Are you sure about that?
No, there was no chicken.
You got a donut on your car now?
I do have a donut on my car
now. Jackson.
Yeah. Holla at me afterwards. I'll hook you up with my boy, John Gotti, Auto Body. Take care of you.
Yes. All right, let's go.
Oh, they'll hook you up, Curtis. You ain't got car issues. It's right in every.
I'm all for it. I love it.
Take care of you.
You know, I love you.
Okay. So amongst the chaos that is this world today, there's some nice people in there still.
Good job, Jack.
I loved Costco, too. I loved going there.
I'm surprised you don't add an S to it, like the Costco's.
I love the Costco's.
You add an S to everything.
I love the Costco's. You can't. There's none in the city. I think there's maybe a BJ's or somewhere not too far.
Yeah, there's one over by Assembly, I believe.
Yeah. I think there's an Everett. I'm not sure if it's a Costco's or a BJ's.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jackson, great lead.
Good job, Jack.
I say that to everybody, great lead, whether it is or not.
It's kind of a wasted superlative.
All right, so we will get to the rest of this morning's leads next. Well, it is a Monday, and Scheim has flexed today, and tomorrow Jackson here for Scheim, and my apologies in advance. We are a little bit discombobulated this morning because there is a problem with my microphone, which means I now have to be over in Courtney's space, and she doesn't like people in her space unless she's hugging people at roadshows. Mm-hmm. But so that's creating a problem. I don't have access to the Subaru of New England text line because that's over by the other microphone. I don't have access to what is going on in the Twitch chat. It is just, it's an untenable situation, Curtis. It's like, do you think... And you would know better than anybody else, Curtis. Mm. Do you think they throw Roy into the excavator and they say, hey, Roy, we need you to dig this trench, but we need you to do it from the back of the excavator where there's no controls?
Yeah, no. The work site is far more efficient.
Right. So anyway.
Courtney loves this. Greg has truly stepped into the Gen Z. Is this stress bragging?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Full stress brag. Are you kidding me? No tools. I have none of my tools.
All of your reads are over at your other station.
Yeah, everything is. My workstation has been adjusted. So
I'm just glad you have your overnight oats in your fruit.
I do. Yeah, I got the overnight oats in the fruit. Yeah. So everything should be A-okay. Mm-hmm. But we were in the middle of leads. Curtis, good morning.
Hey, Greg. I've had this sort of solidify over the weekend talking to Ken. The people that are against the Diggs acquisition really are telling on themselves. Like, the Patriots actually have the leverage over Steph Diggs. We'll get to the potential number at a later point this morning. But it's a one-year deal, and if Diggs is a malcontent here and doesn't perform with Drake May playing well, makes a scene on the sideline as a guy that prevents the team from going where they need to be, then he's basically done. He's 33, he'll be on his fourth team in 4 years, and there will be nobody out there. He's here because he didn't have better options and because you paid him more than other teams would, which tells you all you need to know about his current reputation around the league. If he's here and does what I hope he does, which is play well, help Drake May the way he helped Josh Allen, then he's the big winner. But if he doesn't do what he's told, then he's done. So it legitimately is a win-win scenario. If he doesn't play well, you get rid of him and you move forward. If he plays great, then you either pay him or somebody else does, or you trade him. It should be 100% to zero people on Steph Diggs on this team at this point.
Well, you knew that wasn't going to happen because of his age and the knee injury. You knew you wasn't going to get 100% of the people going, what are you doing?
What would these same people be saying if the Jets signed Diggs and the Patriots didn't, to the exact same contract?
Oh, they would be complaining.
Right.
Yeah, they would be complaining, definitely, for sure.
So, I feel like it was a perfect acquisition that I believe Vrabel was the one behind. And I think there's so little to lose. Okay, fine, you're going to be 6-11 this year because he's a head case to get rid of him, and then he's done in the league.
Yeah. I mean, we'll hear some of it during They Said It in about a half an hour or so, but he said all the right things Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked glowingly about Josh Allen. That's his buddy, mm-hmm. apparently. So, I mean, I don't know. You're right, Curtis, though. It's really, there's nothing to lose when it comes to the New England Patriots on this.
And this is a risk they had to take, and I don't think it's a risk at all, but yeah. I feel like it's... If he is anywhere near what his talent level is, mm-hmm. then the offense will be completely transformed.
And also, I think Mike Vrabel is the kind of coach that's not going to take
a
lot of guff from him.
Yeah, I mean, he can handle it. He's coached the guy like A.J. Brown before. Not to say that A.J. Brown, we don't know him, is like an absolute head case. But, you know, clearly the guy is like a lot of wide receivers, wants the football, is not afraid to go back and forth with their coach. Clearly we've seen reading books on the sidelines, getting to shouting matches. That's kind of the nature of the beast when you're a talented wide receiver.
You don't have to accept that, though. I mean, have to accept that Diggs throwing his helmet because he's pissed off. That being said, I don't think he will have not getting the ball enough to argue about because,
right.
I mean, he's going to be getting the ball based on that wide receiver room.
Yeah, that's always the biggest thing from any offensive player, you know, skill player, is am I getting the ball enough? Am I a focal point of the offensive game plan? And Diggs should be a big part of that. And then if he's not, then you got to look and say, well, is it Josh McDaniels or is this guy not good enough when he is getting his opportunity?
All right, Curtis, thank you. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. We've already touched on it, but of course my lead this morning is Rafi Devers. He set an MLB record. He's gone 0-16 with 10 strikeouts. And people are all jumping to conclusions, whether it's he wants out of here, he showed up to spring training, you know, out of shape, he wasn't ready for the season to start. But I want to show a photo of he and Jason Veritek, if Mitch has it, in the dugout, and Veritek is leaning over him. That's a guy who's struggling internally from the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
When I see something like that, this isn't a guy who's trying to play his way out of here. You also have to put yourself in Rafael Devers' shoes. If you want to go somewhere else, what team's looking at his performance right now saying, yeah, I want him? Like, this is just a lose-lose for Rafael Devers. You show up to spring training, you talk to media, you said, no, I'm the third baseman for this team. You're then told that the position that you've played your entire career is out the window, you're going to DH, and now you're struggling at that.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I can't imagine being in Rafael Devers' shoes right now, and yes, you can say that I'm apologizing for him. I'm really not. I think that if you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars, you figure it out and you play to the best of your ability, but I think he is struggling so badly right now, and I think everybody's turning their back on him, as you can see here, not Jason Veritek. But I also want to show if Mitch could go to February 28th, where he was taking live BP, and everybody, this video was going all over the place, saying, oh, looks like his shoulder's good to go. This is a guy who's ready for the season. He looks completely different February 28th than he does where we sit right now, April, what is it, 31st? March 31st.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm rushing to summer. March 31st. I just think that you have to consider the way in which this was handled and the way in which Rafael Devers could struggle internally. And for people who don't understand that, I get it. Good for you that you don't ever have any type of mental health things, but this could be a guy that we see is coming apart at the seams.
I don't think saying that he's a mess means that other people haven't had mental health issues. I think that this is a lot of it is his own doing. He only played in 5 spring training games. He only had 15 plate appearances. Whatever you want to say about his weight or anything else, he was not in baseball shape to start the season. And nobody is to blame for that other than Rafael Devers.
I just think that while we were there, we saw him arriving early. We saw. I do not think that he looked overweight. I don't think he looked bigger than he was last year. I think that that is like a low blow when people try to point towards that. Right. And I also think, yeah, of course, people are dealing with mental health. We talked about Red Sox players last season, the season before, and how people were responding to that. I'm just saying, for somebody, if you did your entire job at one position and Ken came in tomorrow, Curtis, and said, hey, you and Jackson are actually going to swap, your pay is going to stay the same, I think mentally you would have a hard time with that.
He's played 150 games as a DH in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
So this isn't like he showed up and it was like, oh, wait, I have but to operate
got
a
his
backup.
He got his main position taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because he wasn't that good at it.
Right. If he was better at third base, Bregman Devers here.
See, I agree like with you, Courtney, in the sense that it's clearly affecting him.
Yeah.
I don't really throw the...
That's all. Like, I
don't really throw the mental health in there because...
I'm not, but he hasn't said anything about mental health.
No, I'm just saying you use that word. I just look at it like you're either mentally tough enough as a player to overcome the adversity that you're dealing with, or you're not mentally tough enough to be able to handle it, and then it takes you into this funk that you now have to get out of.
Right.
Like, the world, if somebody's dealing with something at home and they let them,
this isn't at home.
No, I know that, but and this is where I get frustrated sometimes, and you and I tend to go back. Like, we're so quick to throw, like, mental health into sports. You either got to be mentally tough to be able to deal with the adversity. And part of that adversity is the coach pulling the rug underneath your feet the last minute and saying, guess what? You're now moving to DH. And I get it that he doesn't like that. But he has to be mentally tough enough to be able to say, okay, I'm not going to let that affect how I perform at the plate, even though I don't like it.
But don't you think that he wishes that he could do that, but that it's not working out in his favor?
No, like, I
anybody
agree
that's
he
looking
wants
at this guy,
that.
Looking at his demeanor, looking at the way that he's holding himself, both at the plate and in the dugout, and thinking that this guy is just trying to get out of here and is pissed off, this is a guy who's clearly struggling, who wants to I think he wants to perform well to the best of his ability. It's just
His
brain and his mechanics are not.
That he's not doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it from being in the world of sports and from being a player that you were always fighting something as an undrafted guy.
Yeah.
I've seen players like you got to be mentally tough to either deal with the adversity, or if you're not, then that ultimately is going to be the reason why you either get cut or you're no longer productive as you are. And that's based on you, the player.
Yeah, and you and I agree. I just think that there are a lot of people, whether it's text line, Twitch line, Twitter, all of it, looking at the way in which people are responding to Rafael Devers, these people who are just sitting on their couch watching the games saying, he's getting paid $30 million. He should be able to do this.
Right.
Well,
okay,
I agree.
I get paid an okay salary, and I didn't want to cry on air over 2 years ago, but, you know, S happens.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
No, like, I get you, but those are people who have never been in the world
that's
of
what I mean.
Of professional
I think
athletics.
That at some point you need to look at him and say, this is a guy who's struggling.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, was he crying? Is that why Jason Varitek was over there?
Oh, I don't know if he was crying. He was definitely in his feels, the young kids would say.
Are you allowed to cry in a situation like that?
We all know Greg from, I believe it was Tom Hanks who said it. There's no crying in baseball.
There really isn't.
Do you think Devers ordered DoorDash and his driver popped his tire en route?
Oh, maybe that's what threw him off, Curtis. Jackson, you could be responsible.
It's not good when it comes to Ralphie Devers and the way this season has started for him. And you could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We got a lead coming from Coach Wiggins and a lead from yours truly coming next on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.